actually going to turn to the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. First, I have a little note here to the congregation from Danny Lane. So I'll read that. Dear Saints, this was written Thursday. Holy greetings of love to you. How wonderful to know our Savior. It seems that every day just gets sweeter and sweeter. I would like to tell you all what a pleasure it was to be with you for meeting again, to renew our kinship in Christ. It brings great joy to me to be in Jefferson. I also want to thank each one for their gifts of love. Pray for me as I labor for the Lord, that I will be all He wants me to be. In Christian love, Brother Danny Lane. Now, I was just thinking he's putting his return address here, Brother Daniel Lane. That's the first time I ever saw him use that. But I was reminded of a little verse I used to hear my mother say, and I've heard others say it too. I don't know whose verse it is. It's a part of a song, I think. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose true and dare to make that purpose known. Now, Daniel Lane has fulfilled this. He's dared to be a Daniel. And he stood alone when all the members of his family, everybody was against him. Some of them bad against him. He stood alone in the whole church against him. And declared the righteousness of the Lord there. And the Lord blessed him because he stood alone and had a purpose true and dared to announce it in a place where opposition was strong, and out of that has given Daniel a small congregation of his own that have accepted his teachings and stand with him. So I say that it paid off with him, just like it did with Daniel in the Bible. God blessed Daniel in the Bible and gave him many favors. Now I want to read a passage from the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That's reading from verse 23, continuing through verse 30 of the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I wish the young folks, what of them there are here, would come up and sing a song for me now. Lord, give me a vision.
Lord, give me a vision. Oh, help me to see the needs all around me, souls dying for thee. Oh, make me a blessing as onward I go by telling the story that others may know. Lord, give me a vision of fields that are wine, souls that we must gather ere cometh the night. Dark shadows are gathering, and some will be lost. Some neighbor or brother, how awful the cost. Lord, give me a vision, lest empty I stand there at the great judgment, no sheaves in my hand. To bring. prayers that saved me. You showed me the way.
That's what I would have speak about this morning. A spiritual perspective. Having a spiritual vision. And I read this passage to open up the theme of spiritual perspective and vision. Because I see in this the terrific consequences of a lack of spiritual perspective and vision. Now, Paul wrote to these people about the Lord's Supper. And that's a part of our worship to God. We observe that regularly in our camp meetings, assembly meetings, sometimes at other times. We observe that. God's Word commands that. Jesus instituted this, and He said for us to observe it till He comes. We show forth the Lord's death till He comes. Amen. Just keep observing this in remembrance of Him. Yet, these people were doing this, but at the same time, Paul said, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, that seems incredible to us, to think that people would be fulfilling the actual will and requirement of the Lord Jesus Himself in this respect and just wither up and die anyway. We might wonder why that is. Well, Paul explains the reason for this. In verse 29, that's verse 30, where he said, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But he explains the cause of it. In verse 29, they didn't understand what they were doing when they did it. He said, not discerning something. They didn't discern something. I would like for us to take this seriously, what I'm going to say now, because it is serious. And that is, anything that we do, be it as right as it can be it commanded in the Holy Scriptures, be it within the scope of God's will, but anything that we do as a mere form is detrimental to us.
Amen.
And we need to seek God to reveal to our souls the principles involved in what we do. And we do certain things. God wants us to do certain things. And yet if we do those certain things as a mere form, they'll be detrimental to us.
Amen.
They'll destroy us. These folks were doing this, but they just withered, dried up, and died anyway. Doing the actual will of the Lord in that respect. And going through the form, of the Lord's Supper and observing it right along, but they didn't discern something. Anything, in this case, it was the body of Christ they didn't discern. And that was the whole heart and kernel of all this ordinance, was the body of Christ. But they didn't discern that. And so it brought them no good results. It rather brought them evil results. Now maybe you might discern the body of Christ, but at the same time fail to discern some part of God's will for your life. For you, God has a will in regard to the life of every one of us. Anything we fail to discern of God's will, plans, or purposes weakens us. Now, God's will is good. It's God's will that you and I grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God has set certain plans and purposes that will help us to do that. But anything that I fail to discern of God's will for me and for my life is going to weaken me just that much. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter and verse 13, we read, whatsoever is made manifest by the light. Now the light makes certain things manifest. And he says that it is the light that reveals these things to us. I have seen people in my time, God pity them, God pity us if any of us are in that category, that they shy away from the light. And if the light begins to break in upon them, they'll shy away from it and maybe not show up at meeting for a while. Something's getting kind of close to them, revealing to them, whatsoever maketh manifest is light. Now he says, whatever is reproved is made manifest by the light. There's something about people, they don't like to have anything that they're doing or that they have in their lives or in their hearts, they don't like to be reproved about it. But the light just turns it right on. We have a text in the 4th chapter of Hebrews in verse 12. And it says that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of joint and marrow and soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now the Word of God will just turn the light on right down in a person's heart. And it will reprove certain things as it is turned on, if there be things found in that heart that is subject to reproof, it will reprove them. I've seen people many times leave meeting and not show up for some little time because something was said that touched them somewhere or other. The light reveals that. That's the only way we know what's reproved. Is when God's Word breaks in upon us. And the light shines in our hearts. Is turned on in our souls. It's a very bad thing. Let me advise you this, folks. It's a very bad thing to close up your heart when the light's breaking through into your heart. But that's the natural inclination if something's being reproved in our hearts. Well, now there may be some things about you and me that are reprovable and not according to God's will for us, but because of a lack of understanding and a knowledge of God's will, it's not being charged against us as sin. In other words, it's not cutting us off from God. It's not producing death to our souls because of a lack of light and understanding on that particular point. But at the same time, God cannot bless me with that thing in my life like He can bless me without it. If He did, that would confirm me in that thing and make God a party to that. If He blessed me just the same and be with that as He would if I didn't have that. Therefore, it is to my advantage to discern whatsoever there may be in my heart or in my life that is contrary to God's will and shutting off the flow of some of God's blessings and grace in my life and get rid of them. I'll not get rid of them till I know they're there, till I know what they are. And God will turn the light on in my soul and point these things right out. Now there they are. I bless you more if you get rid of that. Therefore, it's to my advantage to receive every ray of light that comes to my soul and respond to it and humble to it and walk in it, measure up to every bit of truth that's revealed to my soul. That's the way that God's blessings and grace will be wonderfully enriched and expanded in our lives. Amen. Now the light does not only make manifest the things that are reproved, it also makes manifest the things that are approved. And what our privileges are in the gospel of Christ. Many people go through life on short rations, not enjoying all of the privileges of the gospel that's available to them because they don't understand that they are available to them. Paul spoke about being persuaded of better things than those Hebrew brethren and things that accompany salvation. That's one of my big points. Things that accompany salvation. I call them fringe benefits. Now, people that are employees of corporations and companies, they're much interested when they go to interview for a job in one of those places. What are the benefits? The benefits are important. Not just the salary you're going to pay me, but the benefits. Yes. Now God has some benefits. Special benefits to the children of God. God is merciful and good and kind to all. But he has some special benefits for his own children. And he has a special regard and concern for them and for their welfare. The light reveals this too. It brings it out. Brother Shute told about one time, and I've related this here a few years back, I think, and he went to a place and went to a hotel, and he got there in the night, and the weather was nice and balmy, and it was good, and so he went to bed and went to sleep, and in the night a norther blew in. And it got cold. And he got cold. And he pulled cover and he wrapped himself up in his cover all he could. And he drew up in his cover and he twisted and he squirmed, trying to keep as warm as he could. When day began to break, light was coming in the room. He looked right over there on a chair, right at his fingertips, and there was a nice down comforter all folded up there that would have met his need and kept him warm, but it was dark and he didn't see it. Many such things happen to children of God in their spiritual lives. Many things that would enrich their lives, bless their souls, comfort them, encourage them, and strengthen them in their lives for God and in doing His will, but it's because they don't see it. They don't realize it. They don't understand that it is their privilege and that they will put in for it. The things are all available to you and me that we need for our spiritual lives if we just comprehend that they're there and put in for them. Just humble our hearts, draw close to God, claim all of the benefits. Paul said, writing to one church that he wrote to, he said, I'm coming to you and I will come to you in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now, that's a great statement. That's one of my big points too. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. God help you and me that we will be possessed of the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. Again, the apostle Paul wrote, he says, and that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For us to come behind in any gift and go through life on short rations is a discredit to God. It represents God to this world as a poor provider for His children. That's the atmosphere that the world lives in anyhow today. What they need to see is somebody on a higher plane than that. And somebody that's really manifesting the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ and possessing all the benefits of it. If we actually possess the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ and all the benefits, then we're going to represent our Heavenly Father to this world as a good, bountiful provider for His children.
Amen.
One that's able to meet all our needs. God said in His Word, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now He needs somebody to demonstrate that. And to represent to this world God's ability to actually supply all of our needs, soul and body, spiritually and physically, temporally, and in every way, in our problems of life, and to bear our burdens, a God that's actually able to fulfill His promise and meet every need of our lives.
Amen.
God needs somebody that can demonstrate that to the world. God, give us a vision. Oh, help us to see. Help us to see. In the first chapter of Ephesians, about verse 18 maybe, or along there, he says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe." How much do you know about the hope of his calling? How bright is your hope? How much vision do you have of the spiritual and eternal things of God? How great and bright in your soul is your vision of eternal life, eternal glory, and the crown of righteousness? How bright and clear, how much do we know? How much has our vision been opened up and expanded to these things? Travel bureaus, agencies that plan travels for people by sea and air, they have a brochure that's labeled Far Horizons. Folks, I feel we need far horizons in our vision. We need to see far. When Abraham went to offer his son Isaac, he traveled 2 full days. Then on the morning of the 3rd day, he looked and saw the place afar off. Still a long way off. Don't be dismayed by that. The things that God will reveal to our souls of his will for us and of his ability to help us to reach that will, it's going to be afar off. We can see away yonder when God is dealing with us, revealing light and truth to our souls. And if we're not careful, we'll become dismayed because it looks like it's so far off. But don't be dismayed by that. Abraham started out and he got there. He got right to the place. And there were some mighty things that transpired between him and God when he got up there, right at the place. That was an important place. And it was an important thing for him to get there. As you follow that narrative on down through the scriptures, you'll find that right there in that spot where he offered Isaac is the very spot where the temple was later built. And the temple was a type of the New Testament church. And it was established on that spot. The church was established right there in Jerusalem. And it was built by the Lord Jesus Christ himself as a habitation of God through the Spirit. God had far-ranging things in mind when he told Abraham to get to a certain place. There was a chain of events running clear down through that, clear on down to us. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And the promise was made right there on that spot, that in Abraham's seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. And if you're able to live a victorious, triumphant life in Christ, the promise was made right there on that spot too. Said, "Thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies." The seed referred to Jesus Christ personally, but it also referred to all of those who are Christ. He said, if ye be Abraham's seed, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise to Christ was that he'd possess the gates of his enemies, which he did when he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and the devil, the enemy of our souls. But it extends to us in living victorious, triumphant lives through Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says that thanks be to God who causeth us, not Jesus this time, but us through Jesus, which causeth us always to triumph in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But the promise was made right at that spot. And Abraham, by setting out, got there. If God reveals something to you that seems a long way off, a far horizon out there, start for it. Accept that as God's will for you. Move out in it. Keep moving in that direction and never settle for anything less than that. What God revealed to your soul. You may not get there today. You may not get there tomorrow. You may not get there this year. But as long as you're moving in that direction and refuse to settle for anything less than what God revealed to your soul, He'll bless you every jump of the way. And it'll get you right on up there. Lord, give us a vision. Oh, help us to see. Help us to see the higher heights, the broader breadths, the longer lengths, and deeper depths that there are for the children of God. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? How much do we know about that? We read about God's great power. We sing a song this morning. What a mighty God we serve. I think that was the second song we sang in the Sunday school. What a mighty God we serve. And it told about the greatness and power of God, and He beats the waters in His hand, and spans the heavens with a span, and He made everything there was, and it summed up in the end, saving us from our sins, and that's the exceeding greatness of His power. It took more power to do that than it did to make this world and everything in it. The power to save a soul from sin. Deliver people from the power and effects of sin. Through faith in the merits of the shed blood of the Son of God. That's the greatest power there is. How much do we know about that? How saved are we from our sins? Do we get whipped down once in a while by something? How saved are we? The exceeding greatness of His power, that you may know that. And the riches and the glory of His inheritance in the saints. How rich are you? God wants you to be rich. He said that Christ, though He were rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. He wants you rich. He wants me rich. He wasn't satisfied with just being rich. He come down here and got us and lifted us up that we might share the abundance of His riches. Yeah. that we through his poverty might be rich. Spiritual perspective, an outreach, something to go for. Paul says, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you see anything out there worth working for? Worth running a race for? Worth fighting for?
Amen.
There's nothing quite so great an incentive to move forward as to see something to move forward to. But God help us. Lord, give me a vision. Oh, help me to see. Help me to see unfolding and unfolding out there more and more and more of the heights and lengths and breadths and depths that are available to me through the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.